Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
For him, knowing what he wants out of the transfer portal and hitting it off with some of those type of guys that, you know, are a couple years older that are looking, for one or two
might know how to get into a stance. Like the thought of him like coaching like an 18-year-old like raw like defensive lineman that doesn't even know how to get into a stance, let alone like I think he's going to have to go older. All right, I wanted to quickly get before we let you go get into this. All right, so obviously we've all talked to death the selections from the College Football Playoff Committee. I'm of the opinion, based on the criteria they have, they got it right. With that said, the problem I think I had with it all, because as we stay in the ACC, is this. I think we got blinded with Bama rage, and we allowed the ACC Trojan horse to come in the middle of the night and essentially steal three bids. Having part of the reason why I think Belichick's going to work in that league, having watched that league stinks. And I my whole thing is, I think the SEC did it to themselves for a couple of reasons. Number one, don't lose to Kentucky. Don't lose to Vandy. Then don't lose to Oklahoma. Don't lose to Florida. I also fundamentally acknowledge, well, if some of these teams had to go to Oklahoma, I don't know if SMU wins that game. I don't know, you know, if Clemson, we saw Clemson lose at home to South Carolina. But Clemson got in automatically, so I understand that. I also think, though, at the end of the day, part of the problem is the SEC agreed to this. And we have this weird reality of we're treating things that aren't equals like equals, but they agreed to it. I'm of the opinion, at the end of the day, they have no one to blame but themselves.
I totally agree. They you reap what you sow in this situation. You built an animal that consumed itself with the conference and with the playoff system. Like, you know, they had a vote in this playoff format. They went for it. They were responsible for building their conference to 16 teams, getting rid of divisions, all this.
And the schedule, which that's the other thing that's insane to me. Why are you, if you know at the end of the day, one of the big problems that you had was you didn't really pay that much attention to the schedule, why the hell are you running it back next year and just changing the venues?
Yeah, I think part of the reason they're doing that is because they know the nine gamers coming, and so they want to cling to these rivalries that they're going to be able to better preserve in the nine game, and they're just trying to cling to them in the meantime. But
luck.
But yeah, I mean, I think they tried to stack the playoff with like five teams, and so they handed like Bama, you know, one of the tougher schedules, and they handed Georgia a really tough schedule, and Georgia was able to handle it and get to the playoff. Bama wasn't. But I think the idea was, like, you know, hand what you think the best teams are some of the tougher schedules, and then try to hand, you know, Ole Miss a more favorable schedule. But as it turned out, I think Ole Miss's schedule was a little bit harder than maybe we anticipated, you know, in the preseason on paper. But, I mean, I guess some of the opinion that, A, the SEC has no one to blame but itself, but also there was a puzzling amount of valuation for conference championship losers, for conference runners-up, that is not written into the selection committee rules.
But that's what they wanted, too. They're the ones that are leading the brigade. We got to protect these games because they make us a ton of money.
Right, but they didn't really protect. To me, to protect the game would be to provide value for the conference champion, like Clemson. But if you're going to put SMU in anyway, to me, you've admitted the conference championship is a glorified exhibition. It really didn't mean anything then for SMU. To me, you're signaling that the game actually means something if SMU doesn't get in. But because as it is, that was basically an exhibition game for SMU. It cost them the bye, but otherwise it didn't cost them anything.
Well, I also think, like, the next 30 for 30 Pony Access 2 is going to be the second half against Clemson, because even though they lost, I think the fact that they came back and lost close, I think they were out of it at half. And I think
totally
that they
agree.
Came back and lost close. It's like, all right, well, I guess they're in.
Yeah, and it's not just SMU, this you know, prize pack for the conference runners-up. I mean, we saw it in the SEC and in the Big Ten Championship as well. You know, Texas loses, but, you know, gets the highest seed possible for a conference or for someone who doesn't win a conference championship. They're sitting on the 5 line. Penn State loses the Big Ten Championship and gets this great draw in the bracket on the 6 line. When you look at it, how is Penn State's resume better than Ohio State's? It's not. Ohio State beat Penn State head-to-head a month ago. Ohio State has the strength of schedule. Ohio State has 2 wins against teams in the playoff field, Indiana and Penn State. Penn State didn't beat anybody in the playoff field. So the entire reason that Penn State is seeded 6 and Ohio State is seeded 8 is because Penn State made the conference championship game and Ohio State didn't. And if that's the rules, that's the rules. But I guess I wish they'd just write it down, right? Because never before have they protected conference runners-up. There's always been a little, you know, some valuation.
Well, Georgia would have liked that protection last year.
Right, exactly. but there's never been that. I mean, even the year Bama got in and won the national championship, they weren't the conference runner-up. They didn't play in the conference championship game the 2017 season. So, like, you know, the year the Big Ten got 2 in, they took 2 teams from the same division. They didn't take the conference runner-up that year that Michigan and Ohio State both got in. There has never, never been valuation for conference runners-up. There was this year. I don't really have a huge gripe over it, other than the fact that I don't think they seeded teams in order of who the best teams actually are. I mean, Ohio State beat Penn State. You can't tell me Penn State's a better team when they lost in their home field to Ohio State. Doesn't mean that Penn State wouldn't win if they played again tomorrow, but based on the resume, based on what we saw head-to-head, Ohio State was the better team. But they didn't seed teams in the order of who the best teams are. They seeded it,
honestly, based on, like, where they finished in the standings of the league.
Yes. Yep, that's what it was. And the problem I have with that is these leagues have gotten so big.
Yes.
You know, 17-team league for the ACC, 16-team league for the SEC, 18-team league for the Big Ten. You're only playing, at most, half the teams in your conference. And so getting to the conference championship game is partially a product of the schedule you drew. It's not reflective of you actually being the first or second best team in your conference. It might be. Like, you might be one of the 2 best teams in your conference, or you might absolutely not be one of the 2 best teams in your conference, but you drew a very favorable schedule. And there's really nothing you can do about that other than add more conference games. But if this is going to be the way it is, we have these 16, 17, 18-team Super Leagues, I'm just not sure that there really should be this protection for teams that lose their conference championship. You win your conference championship, absolutely. You should be in. No questions asked. You're a Power Four team. You won your conference championship. I think there should be a spot for you in the playoff. You lose that game, I don't really think there should be a ton of protection for you.
All right, buddy. You're great to join us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That is Blake Topmeyer, national senior college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. We got big-time college hoops coming up. We'll talk about that during the list. Also coming up later this hour, Tim and I will rank the quarterbacks of the college football playoff. We'll do that all coming up this hour. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Add some sparkle to the holidays with Robert Irwin Jewelers. Whether you're making one of life's biggest milestones, like an engagement, or simply making the holidays unforgettable, Robert Irwin Jewelers has the perfect gift for your loved one. Some of the top holiday picks include diamond earrings. Every woman needs a pair of diamond studs. They're like the little back dress of jewelry. Half-carat, total-weight diamond studs start at just $3.99. You can also check out the ever-popular tennis bracelets, as well as diamond necklaces. Of course, it's engagement season as well. At Robert Irwin Jewelers, you can choose from handcrafted engagement rings in unique, trendy, fashion-forward styles that she'll adore. Or you can do what I did, and you can do a custom-made engagement ring. You can do so with peace of mind, the meant-to-be guarantee. A 365-day, no-questions-asked return policy on custom-designed rings. You can make a ring from something as simple as a picture, a drawing, an idea that you have. They'll make it come to life, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can even shop now and pay later with 12 months interest-free financing or take up to 60 months to pay. They're open on Sundays now through Christmas. Visit any of their five locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Let's get into the list. Tiger basketball. Yeah, Tim has mentioned we have a loaded slate of college basketball starting tomorrow. I guess there's Nebraska, Indiana. Who's tonight on Fox?
Starts tomorrow.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow. But it'll also start early. Spoiler alert.
You don't go into Pinnacle Bank and come out a winner, though.
Absolutely not. Tomorrow, 10 a.m. local time. I feel like this is always that slate of college basketball where if I see college games starting at 10 a.m. locally, so your would be 8 a.m., I'm like, yeah. Is this a replay? But no. Everyone be ready. So the Tigers, after losing to Arkansas State, truly one of the worst performances of the year, worst efforts of the year. They have an opportunity. They got a four-game stretch here at Clemson, at UVA, and they return home to host Mississippi State and Ole Miss. I've said this. The one thing that you can kind of count on in the Penny Hardaway era, in the big games, they show up. It's the other games that you got to kind of worry about, but they do have a tendency to show up in big games. Tough environment tomorrow with Clemson. Clemson has handed, I believe, Kentucky their only loss. KenPom, I think, shows it as a 7-point Clemson win. I imagine the line will be right around there. But the main thing is, I think the Tigers just have to get the Arkansas taste out of their mouth.
Yeah, I think Memphis, what we've seen, how good is your good, is pretty darn impressive, as we've talked about here on this show quite a bit. You know, beating UConn and... You know, that's certainly, a fascinating game tomorrow at Madison Square Garden between UConn and Gonzaga.
I'm sorry, you mean Storrs South?
Yeah, exactly. So, look, give me a 7. I'll take it, man. I think what plays into their hands is that it's an 11 a.m. local tip time there at Little John Coliseum, which, as you alluded to, is always a tricky place to play, but...
Tigers do have some experience playing early mornings. I think they tipped off at like 9-something in Maui.
Yeah, so I don't think you're going to get the atmosphere that we saw
Kentucky game.
Two Tuesdays ago when they beat Kentucky. So, look, they're a very well-coached team. Brad Brunell's been there forever. Very good defensively, top 10 in defensive efficiency. But I always like to buy low and sell high, and I think this is kind of a bit of a buy low opportunity on the Memphis Tigers here. So, yeah, if you give me 7, I'm going to be looking to grab Memphis plus the points because I think you see a pretty good effort from them bouncing off of that, as you alluded to, just gross loss to Arkansas State, who, I'm kicking myself. A buddy of mine texted me last night. I was like, hey, man, we taking UT Arlington plus, I think it was like 9, because they were playing Arkansas State.
Right out. Oh, Memphis. Man. That's a hand-up moment.
I was like, good call. I didn't bet it. And Arkansas State won but didn't cover.
All right, so also, as mentioned, we got Gonzaga, UConn. Tennessee goes to Illinois. They're going to play in Champaign. We got Marquette, Dayton, UCLA, Arizona. Not a conference game anymore. Reminder, that's an out-of-conference game. A&M goes to Purdue. St. Mary's at Boise.
Quick update.
That's an Indianapolis.
Yeah, there's like a doubleheader in the Pacers stadium. So it's A&M Purdue and then Butler coming off of their gross loss. They lost. Who did they lose to earlier this week? Someone really bad.
North Dakota State.
Yeah, North Dakota State. The game that you mentioned it already, the game that I think is pretty interesting because I'm sure many Memphis fans watched it. Marquette going to Dayton. That's going to be a tricky one for Marquette. Marquette's very good. By the way, we're starting to see lines out now, and it looks like Clemson is a 6.5-point favorite.
So the bookmakers thought maybe just like you.
Yeah.
Like, maybe KenPom's at 7. Let's go ahead and make it 6.5 just in case.
But I'll tell you what, man. I love backing Shaka Smart as an underdog, but I was tickle me impressed by what I saw from Dayton against Marquette, and I think that line is going to be very short. I think Dayton wins that game.
You mean Dayton against UConn?
Dayton's playing Marquette.
Yeah, but I'm saying you were impressed by what you saw against UConn.
Yeah,
right?
In Maui, right? Yeah. They blew a big lead to UNC, which I guess doesn't look as impressive now.
Well, I was actually thinking about this as you mentioned UNC. How do you think Hubert Davis is feeling about all this? Because on the one hand, I'm not super thrilled because, hey man, you know as well as I do, at some point there's going to be an issue of who's getting this dollar. And Belichick's going to have a much better chance of getting the dollar than in previous regimes. On the other hand, it's kind of distracting everyone from how stinky they've been early.
They have not been good. They have not been good. They got beat up pretty good by Bama. I guess they squeaked past Georgia Tech on Saturday. They play LaSalle tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, they're outside the top 30 in KenPom right now.
Yeah. But I'm sorry. Go back to the other games that fascinate.
No, yeah, I think that game's very interesting. I think Dayton Marquette, I think that's a really good one. Gonzaga UConn. Right now you're looking at DraftKings now out the 3.5 in favor of the Zags. Gonzaga got off to their amazing start with their obliteration of Baylor. They've kind of come back down to earth, right? They, you know, lost to West Virginia in the Bahamas. They lost to Kentucky, blew that lead on Saturday night out in, where was that game? It was played at the Spokane Arena, I believe, not at the Kennel.
Yeah, so, yeah, whatever. It's like, I think it's another like Veterans Coliseum.
So, by the way, I find it funny that KenPom does not say this is a neutral game. It says it's semi-away.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy that one. It's like when Memphis played San Francisco at San Francisco, it was semi-away. Because it's the same thing like that Gonzaga
situation. Is UConn starting to figure it out a little bit?
Yeah, this is what I was going to bring up with you. So Trilly Donovan on Twitter made the mention of this is this week's AP Top 25. The national champion has come from the top 12, I think, for like the last 15 seasons, maybe even beyond that. UConn's out of it. I'm a little curious if that trend holds this year, because this does feel like a year where we haven't quite figured enough out early.
And it's like, all right.
And UConn's where they are because they went to, I mean, Tim, they went to a three-team MTE. And they're never going to do that ever again.
Never going to do it again.
Is the conference tournament out? Is that? I'm just wondering.
No, because that's played at Madison Square Garden, which is their home arena, mm-hmm. as you pointed out. We got some good ones tomorrow. Not like epic proportions, but yeah, we got some good ones. Kind of some funky matchups too, which I kind of like. You know, like why is NC State going to Fog Allen, but sure, we'll take NC State at Kansas.
We got basketball bedlam too.
Yeah, we do.
They won't play in football, but damn it, they'll play in basketball. Also, you might be able to get hashtag fade the waves. Northern Arizona probably likely to have a plus sign. Just go ahead and fade those waves. Take that plus sign and just appreciate it.
Not going to get too much of Lumberjacks waves on most.
Well,
Memphis
it's been an auto bet here for your boy. We've lost one time. They are god awful. They're just they play so slow. They're an awful watch. They're awful and an awful watch. Memphis Grizzlies. All right, Tim, nobody sweeps the Grizzlies, not the Brooklyn Nets. They retake the, or they take on the Nets tonight after basically a 5 days off, which, by the way, shout out your Wizards bet. It's looking pretty good.
Lizards. Three wins.
The Cap One Center was like low-key kind of lit for the Grizz. Looked like everybody was coming. Yuki is legitimately a draw. It's unbelievable. Like, I've never seen a guy off the end of the bench be a draw, but like he gets people in the, he puts asses in seats, man.
You'll learn this. DC, very transient town, and I'm sure working with Mark for as long as you did, you picked up on some things. That arena gets pretty popping when opposing players come in, because that's what people head there to see.
Yeah, because so you're not there to see the Wizards.
Yeah, when Kobe, rest in peace, you know, would come with the Lakers, obviously, LeBron. You know, you name it. So I think Ja, you know, he's an attraction. And people, look, DC's a hoops town, man. And my buddy, who I adore from a radio standpoint, his name's Kevin Sheehan, and he used to be like, once the Wizards get going, it's gonna be rocking. I'm like, no, it won't. I'm like, stop. You can be a basketball city, which is what DC is,
yeah,
and not give a crap about the basketball team in the city. And that's exactly what they are. So, yeah, no, I'm not surprised that it was a pretty good atmosphere when Memphis went to town. But, yeah, 10-point favorite tonight are the Grizz against Brooklyn.
All right, here's what I wanted to ask you. So I'm looking at odds to win the West. Thunder plus 175, deservedly so.
Sure.
The Grizzlies tied with Houston right now in the standings, 2.5 games back of the Thunder. But to win the West, depending on which book you're at, it's around 13-1. The Mavericks, if you want to tell me that they have better odds, I'm okay with that. But this is where I think it starts to get interesting. The Nuggets, the Warriors, the Suns, the Timberwolves, all with better odds. Is this a situation where the Grizzlies might be undervalued here?
I think they are. I think the Nuggets got some serious issues.
I think
the Timberwolves
got some serious
issues too.
You can talk me into the Timberwolves figuring it out, but I think their biggest problem is Mike Conley's been really good for them the past few years, and Mike is either hurt or Mike's 38.
I mean the Warriors, I think, start to fade a little bit here. Yeah, I do. I mean, I think this is a team that always the concern, and you could speak much more to than I, but if they can stay healthy, which is obviously always going to be the big if, but I don't know, man. I think at 14-1, there are certainly worse bets you can make than Grizzlies, and that's the number at DraftKings right now as I look at it. They're seventh right now in the odds.
Yeah, and then if you look at other metrics, you know, ESPN's whatever FBI, whatever the or FPI for basketball. There's a bunch of others that basically are saying, like, hey, projected wins, they're gonna finish second. And to me, it's like, all right, I can get the Grizzlies at better odds than the teams that they're projected to finish ahead of them or behind them. The other issue that I see is, so far early in the season, the schedule has worked out in their favor, but all the predictive metrics account for that too. But their schedule ramps up here in the next like 2 months, and so we'll get a better idea of whether or not they've just been taking advantage. But I mean, to me, man, you go into Boston and full strength versus full strength. I know there's no Edie, but I mean, for the most part, it's the healthiest the Grizzlies have been all year. Went toe to toe and you beat them, and then you went toe-to-toe with the Mavs, and you get beat in the fourth quarter. But I don't know, man. Like, I just think it really boils down to, if they've got Ja, Jaren, and Dez on the floor for, let's say, 70% of the remaining games, which is doable, I don't hate this bet, man. And that's not even a homer thing.
No, I would agree with you. And, yeah, it's all about the price, right? Price.
Correct. It is strictly a value play. This is not like me stumping for, I think this team's going to win. Because it's entirely possible we're going to get to the end of the season and realize the Thunder were on a different level. But it's also possible a young team that doesn't have a ton of playoff success doesn't get it done in the playoffs. Like, you know what I mean? Like it
happened 2 years ago
to the Grizzlies
with the Grizzlies.
Like, you know, to me, like they're in the exact same spot the Grizzlies were in the year they lost to the Lakers in the first round, with the difference being the Thunder have been consistently playing better basketball, and nobody's gone and shot up the strip club.
What?
Yeah.
What is what's interesting when you look at the Western Conference, and obviously what we're a quarter of the way through the season, so there's plenty of basketball still to be played. So it's OKC 1, as you pointed out. They're number one in the standings. They're number one in the odds. Then it's Houston and Memphis at 17-8. And Houston even has longer odds than the Grizzlies. You know, they're telling us that the teams that have gotten off to this really hot start, just based off of odds and a little bit of history, that they're not going to trust in it, because Denver's 7th, Minnesota's 9th, and Phoenix is 10th right now. And I know Phoenix didn't have KD and didn't have Bradley Beal.
Yeah, but by the way, how is that not baked into the models?
Right. So it's funny to look at the numbers right now and the standings right now and be like, huh, interesting. You know, how is this all going to play out? So a lot of basketball still to be played. But yeah, 14-1 to win the West. You're not even talking about win the title, right? You're win the West.
Right. It's strictly just a value play, yeah.
And you've seen teams get to the Western Conference Finals based off of path, whatever it may be, and, you know, just how gambling works, right? You have a 14-1 ticket in pocket, and your team is playing for the Western Conference Finals, you're making money.
Yeah.
You're hedging off of that with that series price, whatever it may be. So, yeah, I mean, you would know much more than I, but, you know, you look at point differential right now, they have the, second best point differential in the Western
Conference. Yeah, they're only behind the Thunder.
Right. So 14-1, man. If this team could stay healthy the way they're playing right now, yeah, I'd sign me up. I think that's a good bet.
All right, it's time. Let's rank the quarterbacks of the CFP. There are 12 of them. We'll do it when we come back next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Zen Sports just picked the grand prize winner of the November Big Game Sweepstakes, and they're running it back in December with the Big Game Sweepstakes College Edition. This time, instead of going to the big game for the pros, they're giving you a chance to go to the first ever big game in the new college format. With a grand prize of $10,000 cash and two tickets to the biggest college football game of the season, and the ability to earn entries on every bet you place in December, it doesn't get much better than this. Also, if you don't win the grand prize, don't worry. You'll also have a shot to win one of 10 small prizes, which grant you $1,000 towards any college football playoff game in 2025. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules and earn a $100 no-danger first wager with your first bet. Use promo code JeffTN at sign up. JeffTN, Zen Sports, betting just got better. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. All right, Tim, you proposed this morning. I loved the idea. However, the homework assignment that you gave me was really difficult because, whoo boy, man, there's a lot of QBs in this one that I don't really believe in. But we got 12 quarterbacks. Let's rank them. I say let's start at the bottom. We'll go one by one.
Yep.
All right, number 12. I struggled with this. But I think I've looked at some numbers. Do you know what? I know PFF makes people feel a certain way, but it is at least attempting to make an objective score from the performance. Do you know what Gunner's PFF grade was for offense against Texas in the second half?
I do not.
57.6. Not very good. I think he has to be 12. He has the least amount of experience, and he's in a tough spot. Also, again, I'm willing to accept that there's not a worse spot you could probably be thrown into than what Gunner was thrown into. Hey, you have no thought of your play in this game. You're thrust in there against the second half against a very good defense. You had a good touchdown drive, but man, after that, it was just captain check down. I don't think that's going to work, man. I got to put him at 12.
Yeah, I wavered between him and I would imagine who you have at 11, Maddox Madsen of Boise
State. That is who I have at 11.
So I've gone back and forth. I think I gotta give Madsen the nod for being slightly better than Stockton. So I'll go Stockton 12 just because we don't know what he is. And to your point, after that first drive, he was kind of all over the place. Madsen's 11 for me. So it goes Stockton 12, Madsen 11. I'll give him credit here. He doesn't turn the ball over, right?
Correct.
So and I think that's the number one thing for me why I didn't put him last.
I also, while I don't love him, I do think he's played better in the second half, although, admittedly, that could just be a Mountain West thing.
Yeah, you've got the least level of competition. You've got the Heisman, we'll find out tomorrow, but the Heisman runner-up in Ashton Gentry behind you. I mean, you've essentially got a cheat code, and you're on a better team than, outside of Oregon, everyone you played. And that's not your fault, but I think Maddox Madsen for me was 11, and that wasn't that hard. After him, yeah, it got a little interesting.
All right, so I'm with you on Maddox Madsen. I struggled with 10, but in the end, I'm going with Sam Leavitt because, like, I think Sam's played much better than early in the year, but I also think Dillingham and Chip Lindsey have done a pretty good job with him, which it's basically like, first read, if it ain't there, take off and run. But at the same time, at this level, people are going to be able to contain you and keep you in the pocket, and I don't have a lot of trust in him.
Yeah, I think 50th in passer efficiency or completion percentage, I should say. I put Leavitt at five as well. And similar to Maddox Madsen, he does not have Ashton Gentry, but he has Cam Scataboo, who is his, you know, get out of jail free card, and I'll give him credit. I thought he played well.
Yes, I totally
agree.
Against
Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game. Maybe he'll prove me wrong again, but I wrote it up for our VSiN college football betting guide, which is out now. And I think Arizona State, if they do get matched up with Texas, which is likely, I think they get blown out. I think that's a horrible matchup for them, and I think Sam Leavitt is going to have a really tough day, and you're going to feel the loss of Jordan Tyson. So for me, Sam Leavitt also 10. So we're consensus 12, 11, 10 so far.
All right. Maybe this is too harsh.
Oh, man. Are we going to be not? We're going to be agreeing here, aren't we?
Number 9, Will Howard.
God, I swear to God, I'll show you my doc. I have Will Howard. I am not a Will Howard guy. I haven't been a Will Howard guy, and he makes bad mistakes, man. Penn State game, pick six early on, some of those plays against Michigan. This dude has...
He gets tight booty holes, baby. And even at Kansas State in kind of big games, he did the same thing.
Does he have the best weapons in the college football playoff?
So that's kind of the other problem. It's like, I think yes.
And he's not that good. Like, there's a reason that Notre Dame was like, we're good. Kansas State, we're good. USC, we're good. Like, if you go back, there were a bunch of teams that were like, eh, we don't need Will Howard. So, yeah, I put him at 9 as well. I'm surprised we're so consensus. Maybe this is where it starts getting a little wackier. But, yeah, I've just never been a big Will Howard guy, and I felt like in the biggest moments this year, I thought he played okay at Oregon. I thought that was, outside of the slide, little too late.
The unforgivable mistake, not knowing the clock.
Yeah, but no, the Penn State pick six and the Michigan game, I had to put him 9, man.
All right, maybe again too harsh. I'm going Drew Aller, and I know he has played better this year, and Kotelnicki has done a better job with him. But, man, how many times have we gotten down to in the big game, in the big moment, have to have it, and comes up empty?
Yeah, I'm a little higher on Drew Aller. Maybe I'm too high on Drew Aller, but maybe this is me being hard on this quarterback because I was very high on him preseason. I'm going Nico at 8. Nico Iamaleava of Tennessee. You look at the numbers, really nothing blows you away. 20 touchdowns to 5 picks. I expected a lot from him this year. Maybe that's not fair, but I thought in this system he would thrive, and I just haven't really seen it. I was pretty, I know he dealt with injuries, but for me, Nico came in at 8.
So I don't have a problem with that because basically you're saying based on what we've seen, I'm leaving room that maybe he's like finding it.
Well, I guess, and the question would be, right?
I did this basically.
What are we basing on?
Like, I did it like if I did. I picked mine based on if you gave me 12 guys and I can draft them for the playoff.
For the playoff.
And I think there's probably an argument of, well, is it for one game or is it for 4 games? And I was choosing to do it for the 4 games.
Well, and I think that's where I kind of did it as well, where, yeah, if we're looking at like a futures draft, I think Nico's probably higher. But for the playoff, I have him down there. And it what's crazy is those two, obviously, 8 and 9 for us two, or I don't know where you have Nico, 8 and 9 for me, play each other in the first round. Why I think Tennessee will be competitive is I think their D-line is going to own the day. And once again, maybe I'm putting too much stock in one game, but like watching the Oklahoma game, they should have blew out Oklahoma, and they couldn't. Like, the defense was dominating them, and they couldn't do it. So,
well, I mean, he scored more points than Jalen Milroe.
That's true.
He did
do that.
7. Cade Klubnik. He's fine.
Ooh. We are big, big day.
I can't get the Georgia game out of my head.
I got Ewers.
All right. I don't have a problem with that because I didn't. Ewers was the I don't know what to do with you category.
I mean, a lot of these dudes are the I don't know what to do with you. Outside of Dylan Gabriel, who I think we can agree will be 1 for both of us. I mean, outside of 1 and 12 and maybe 11, I thought it was kind of a toss-up. And that's why I thought this was so interesting. Because
this is matchups. Like, okay, if they're going like Sam Leavitt against Iowa State, yeah. But like Sam Leavitt against Texas, no thank you.
Yeah, that's going to be brutal.
I didn't know what to do with Kevin Jennings.
Does Texas even like their quarterback,
Well, they're letting him go.
Right. Well, is he going to the pros? Is he going to a Big Ten school for $4 million?
I think he's going to a Pacific Northwest Big Ten school.
Even with Dante Moore there?
I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, so yeah, I had Quinn Ewers at 7. I went Kevin Jennings of SMU 6.
Okay, we both have him at 6 because we didn't know what to do with him. Because the good is good.
Yeah. And, you know, I think he has to do a lot for SMU. And, you know, Nico and Will Howard and, to a lesser extent, Quinn Ewers, like, don't mess it up, man. So I've got Jennings at 6.
I put Nico and Quinn at 4 and 5. That's not really a glorifying endorsement, but that's more of, I know that they have played in big environments and the moment has not been too big for them, but I don't love where I've ranked either of them.
Well, I think that's where you get into. I put Drew Aller 5, and I probably will regret that because he has not... I drank a little bit of the Kool-Aid last year because I got Penn State fans in my life. Oh, we finally got rid of Sean Clifford. We finally got the guy. And it's like, okay, he's not that impressive. But maybe it's a little recency bias, but I thought he looked pretty good against Oregon in a loss.
He did make that the throw that he made on fourth down was ridiculous. But I just, that pick was so bad and so unnecessary.
It's got some upside for sure. But yeah, I'll put Aller at 5. I could be talked into moving him down. I'm going to do this tomorrow in my show, and I might have, well, I won't say completely different, but I think I have to, I might tweak some things. I might move Aller down a little bit.
I think you're right though, but it's like, okay, then I put Riley at 3 because I think he's playing better and I think the offense has gotten better. And I know that Riley has something that you have to account for. He is an unbelievable runner.
Yeah. So I initially put Riley at 2. And then I moved him to 3. I have Curtis Rourke at 4, and I could be talked into him being higher, but he can't run. He's a statue. He's a very good quarterback, but I'm very curious what he's going to look like. I mean, statistically speaking, I think he's... God, he's way up there in some of these numbers.
He's PFF's number one quarterback.
Yeah, all right. So pass efficiency, number one. Completion percentage, he's high up there. He's had a really good year. He's a veteran. He's not going to make mistakes. But the fact that he can't run makes me a little bit wary. So that's why I had him 4 and Riley Leonard 3. The worry I would have with Riley Leonard is he has had a propensity this year of having dumb interceptions.
Yeah, if he goes up against a team that can hem him in, can he make the throw that you need him to make?
Right, and if they don't have big-time playmakers at wide receiver, Notre Dame I'm talking about,
yep.
They have great running backs, and I think Notre Dame's path to success this whole postseason, however long it lasts, is because of their trio in the backfield of Leonard, Jadarian Price, and Jeremiah Love, and to an extent their tight end Mitchell Evans. I don't trust their wide receivers, but I think of the 12 quarterbacks, do you agree that he's the most dynamic and dangerous runner?
It's him or Jennings, right?
Yeah, but Jennings, I mean, that's why I put Klubnik at 2. I think Klubnik is...
Klubnik running has helped their offense. He has a popcorn arm. It's like, weep.
They've got good receivers. He didn't really run the ball well against SMU. But I think the combo of his weapons, I think he's got 40 touchdowns total to 5 picks.
Shout out ACC.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that's part of that too. But like, the reason I wanted to do this exercise is you look back at some recent years, and it's like, these rankings were not hard.
No.
Like, 2018, Kyler Murray, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Ian Book. Okay, that's a pretty easy one. 2019, how about Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, and Justin Fields?
I mean, this is part of what we're talking about this year.
And that's why it's so wide open, man.
Correct.
It's so wide open.
All right, George, you can hit the music. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. I think I just want to go in general with the whole Niners, Devondre Campbell, whether it be I'm probably getting cut, you think, or Shanny, his days are numbered, really. You mean the guy that quit during the middle of the game, like his days are numbered? It's just a fantastic tell your story.
I just imagine be like, hey, Devondre, time to go in. Nah, I'm good.
Who was the, I always forget, who was the Bills guy that retired at halftime?
Oh, I can't remember his name. Hold on, let me see. I know we're running out of time.
Something Davis?
Vontae Davis.
Yeah. Yeah. An all-timer. All right, my man. Enjoy the weekend. We'll back at it Tuesday. Hey, we'll have game week next week.
Yes, sir. Game week. Can't wait.
That is, of course, Tim Murray of VSiN. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Blake, for George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show with Connor and George coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.